Jesus, today, as we've been singing, we are your children. We don't have to be slaves to fear or to pride. Jesus, I pray today you would inspire the faith inside of us to take hold of who you're calling us to be, to take hold of that relationship with you. I pray you would inspire what Gabby and I share today. I pray you would inspire each one of us in the room to have faith that can hold tight to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today I want to start us off with a happy memory for many of us. Some of you who aren't sports fans may not care too much, but for us here in Kansas City, if you're a baseball fan, yeah, 2015, really good year, obviously, and the Royals won the World Series. And for me, my opinion at least, the most critical moment of that series happened in the first game. The way baseball works, it's a lot of momentum, okay? And so if you can win that first game, it's a very big deal. And if you remember that game well, the Royals, who normally field excellently, they'd given up an unearned run. Hosmer had made an error, and so we were losing by the time they'd brought in their closer, Familia. So Familia was this New York Jets player who I think hadn't blown a save for several months, and in the playoffs, he'd pitched more than 10 innings, and he'd given up two singles and no runs. He had just, like, shut people down. So that guy come in. He had shut down the first two hitters he faced, and by the middle of the bottom of the ninth inning, Alex Gordon comes up to the plate, and a lot of you guys probably already know what's going to happen. Yeah, but he gets, I can't remember if it was a sinker or a slider. He gets a pitch that's 97 miles an hour, and it's moving. Okay, so it's not a fastball from Familia. This has got motion to it. And Alex Gordon hits a home run, like a Babe Ruth home run, you know, like straight to dead center field in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, it's stuff I can remember as a little kid. There was a T-shirt. There was this brand at the time that was popular. It's called No Fear. And there was a T-shirt that described, like, this exact scenario of, like, bottom of the ninth inning, your team's down, and you get up to the plate and hit a home run. I mean, it's just, this is exactly what, like, little kids dream of doing. I mean, like, nobody really does this. Baseball's been around for more than 100 years, and I think only, like, five people have hit a home run in the ninth inning to tie the game. It's just something, like, ridiculous. Like, nobody really does this. Like, people just dream about it. But that night, Alex Gordon hit that home run, and he's hugging Hosmer in the dugout because Hosmer's the one who's, you know, made the error that blew the game, potentially. But then because of Gordon's home run here, then in the 14th inning, Hosmer's able to hit and get an RBI to get the win. You know, so he gives his buddy even a chance at redemption there by hitting the home run. So pretty awesome moment. Well, I saw an interview with Alex Gordon a little while after this, but it fit into this time period as well. And Alex had given up all desserts and a lot of different unhealthy foods. And he hadn't even, the reporter was asking him, like, he hadn't even eaten, like, a piece of chocolate, like, you know, like a little piece of chocolate in years. The reason he had done that is he was fully dedicated to baseball. His whole life was geared around baseball. And there's a lot of people out there that love chocolate probably more than baseball. But for anybody that cares about baseball, if someone said, hey, you got to give up all junk food for a few years, and then you get to hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning to help win the World Series, I mean, most of us would say, like, yeah, chocolate is nothing compared to getting to do that, right? We would at least say it. A lot of us would have a hard time living it out for a few years, but we could at least see on the scales which is more valuable. Obviously, we want to be the hero that hits the home run, you know, and that's what Alex Gordon has given a lot of his life to. Now, baseball doesn't have real internal significance, but it's a good example for us of when people dedicate themselves fully to something, they can get somewhere. And Philippians chapter 3 is what we're going to be talking about this week and next week. If you want to look at it, you can turn there. We'll have some verses up on the screen. But the beginning of Philippians chapter 3, Paul, who's writing this, he's not a baseball player, but he goes into some details of, here's all the things I've done literally since I was a baby. I was being prepared to succeed in one very elite group of people. There was this group of very legalistic Jews who were a big deal in their own minds, just like we think baseball players are a big deal. I mean, and Paul was able to say, I did all this stuff over the course of my whole life, and I was perfect at living up to the standards of that group. Like, nobody could say they did it better than me. And he achieved all of that success in this one group that he was trying to impress. And he was, in a way, taking his inventory on, here's all the things I did to get towards that goal. And what the passage we're going to read about, though, is he said, I was shooting for the wrong goal. There was something better than justifying myself with these other folks. So before we get into the passage, I want to invite Gabby to come and help me today. Gabby's going to talk to us just right off the bat. So Gabby is a graduate from our flight training program, and we took the alumni from that and the current students in that on a retreat this weekend, and we were studying Philippians 3. And as we're reading Philippians 3 and Paul's lifting off all these things he did in his life, she's like, that's kind of like doing an inventory. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So for me, I take a daily inventory of myself, and I also take other people's advice. I try to have an accountability partner, I try to have a sponsor, and I try to just look at my life and be like, okay, Gabby, is this leading you towards Jesus? Or is this leading you away from Jesus? And there's many circumstances in the day where I have to make a decision, and I'm like, and then I go back, okay, Gabby, like, what is it gonna be, you know? And so, so I do take a daily inventory of just everything, and I try to strive for Jesus and not away from Jesus.
So the inventory is a tool that Gabby uses to check, where am I actually going? What do I actually care about? A lot of us lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves we really care about something, but then we don't live that way. And the inventory is a way of saying, like, what do my actions show that I really care about? And when Paul lists in the beginning of Philippians 3, he lists all these things he used to do for the life he was trying to go after. He says that was the wrong way to go. By having that list, he can see I was headed in the wrong direction. So then he's going to tell us the better direction he chose. He says, but wherever were gains to me, any success I had in my old life, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What he's saying is anything I did to impress all those other people back in the day, things I used to be prideful about, those things are a loss. Like, they're negative compared to Jesus. Like, they were holding me back from taking hold of Jesus. When you look at your own past, if you struggled for something and you found out in the end it was hollow, you look back at all that struggle and you think, that was a waste. And now that I have Jesus, I just want him. Mm-hmm. I don't want that old struggle I had. So then in verse 8, or the beginning of verse 8, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. So it's not even just the old life, he's saying, doesn't measure up. He's saying there's nothing in this entire world that can stand on the scales next to knowing Jesus. Amen. Even good stuff in your life, a beautiful day like we have today, even good time with your family, even good friendships, none of those things can be on the scale with Jesus and measure up. Knowing him is the best. And as much as we say, like, yep, you know, I see some heads nodding right now, but if we did the inventory that Gabby's talking about, I wonder if the inventory would show that we think that. Like, do you really value knowing him more than all the other stuff in your life? Let's read on he's going to pound it home even a little harder here. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. For Paul, if it's holding him back from knowing Jesus, then it's trash. And what do you do with trash? You throw it away. I've been in parts of the world where there's not a garbage service and they just throw trash in their yard, and it's not good. It's not healthy. I mean, it smells bad, but it's also literally not healthy. Paul's saying, if there's something that's holding me back from Jesus, even if it's a fun thing, even if it's an enjoyable thing, even if other people say it's okay, I'm throwing it away. So let's talk a little bit about, you've got a story, Gabby, about going to the dentist, okay? I'm going to show this terrible picture. I had to do a Google search. I'm going to give you guys the gentle version of that Google search for images. So when you Google images for pulling teeth, it's not fun pictures that you see. This was the nicest picture I could find that actually showed it, because this is a little model. The sad thing is that's a real dentist tool. Like, doesn't that thing look terrible? Like, that's a thing that they use to pull teeth out with.
Yeah, okay. I remember it very, you know.
Okay, so Gabby, tell us about pulling teeth.
So for me, and just with my past, I was a person that could always minimize and justify anything that I did in my life. So, like, I can remember when I was homeless and I was living in hotels, I was like, well, at least I'm not that person sleeping under the bridge. You know, I'm not that bad. And so when it came to, you know, living a new life with Christ, you know, when I got my teeth pulled, I had to get 6 teeth pulled because my teeth were so bad. And I decided that I wasn't going to take pain pills because I knew, like, what it might do. And I didn't know that, you know, I could have maybe handled them, but I could have maybe not. And I just wasn't willing to try to do it. And so I was in pain, you know, and I decided to do it all at once instead of do like 1 tooth every month and be in pain for 6 months. I decided just to get them all done at once and just get it over with. And I was crying myself to sleep at night. I had like gauze of blood coming out and I was just in so much pain. And I just knew what the pain pills would have done to me though. And I just wasn't willing to compromise with my walk with God. And so I decided not to do it. Yeah.
If you're taking notes today, like, that is worth writing down. Like, I wasn't willing to compromise with my walk with God. Did you notice she said this little line of, like, maybe I would have been able to handle it, and maybe not. A lot of us take that chance. A lot of us say, I think I'm strong enough, and I can find some cool verse about faith, and I can sound really good. But we risk our relationship with Jesus falling apart because we're going to give in to something he doesn't want us to do. We're going to get distant from him. But Gabby said, staying clean is essential to me keeping close to Jesus. And so anything that is a legitimate risk to that, like, I'm not going to do it. Even if I have to literally cry myself to sleep and be in all this pain. Like, there's a reason I invited Gabby to share today, because I thought, like, that story needs to be heard. Like, it's very specific, but you know yourself. A lot of us would have made excuses in that. Like, there's a doctor telling me it's okay, so it's okay. Or I'll be strong enough to do it. It won't be like the time before. Or it won't be like this or that.
Yeah.
So we're going to read on a little bit further. On this retreat this week, we were spending all of our time in Philippians 3, and we were talking and talking and talking about it. But Gabby said something about this next couple of verses we're going to read that really clicked for me. I felt like she had a great insight here. So to review, we just talked about, Paul says, I consider everything else garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Here's his next statement. It says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. What he means there is not being good enough on my own, not being able to own my goodness, not earning my relationship with God. He says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And so I was asking these leaders, what does righteousness mean? How does faith really get us that right relationship with God and other people, those right actions? So, Gabby, what did you share on that?
I shared, you know, the way I receive righteousness through faith is, you know, no matter the circumstances or whatever happened, no matter what God's plan for my life is, like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be by his side fully in every step of the way. And I just, you know, I feel like faith is such a hard thing because we were talking downstairs in Sunday school how, you know, it's just, it's hard work getting sober. And it's like we want everything just handed to us and our life to be back to normal. And the thing is we have to work hard for the things that we want. And we have to work hard to stand by Jesus' side. Because I don't know if you guys realize, like, most of the world don't live for Jesus. And it's a daily thing and a daily inventory that I take to just be righteous with God and just to have faith that no matter what happens, like, God has me and I don't have to take control of the situation at all.
So. When I heard Gabby share that, I've been thinking about it, and this image came to my mind of, we've all been around, there's this really sweet age with little kids, and if they really trust somebody, sometimes they can have this moment where, as long as they have a hold of dad's hand or meemaw's hand or whoever it is that they really trust, as long as they have a hold of that person, it doesn't matter what else is going on around them. Like, they're not scared. As long as they, and typically their hands are small enough that, like, they're just gripping one little finger or something. But it's like there could be a whole war zone going on around, and as long as they've got a hold of that hand, then they're okay. And when I heard Gabby's definition of faith, said, yeah, faith is believing that, like, God's going to hold on to me as long as I hold on to him. And if I hold on to him, like, everything is going to be okay. I can't control all the outcomes, but I'm going to be with him. And that's the definition of okay, I think, with what she was talking about. For most of us, though, we have a hold of that little finger of God, and then we let things like the pain pills or a relationship or some sort of greed or some sort of bitterness, we let it open our hand up. Okay, we take our hand off of God's hand. We let there's something come in and get in between us and God. We get worried about all the stuff out around us. So, or we just make compromises. I think a lot of what Gabby shares is about not making compromises. So, Gabby, if someone's here today and they know themselves and they know they want to do the right thing, but when push comes to shove, they typically compromise. They typically say, well, I wanted to do this, but I started doing this, and then everything got messed up. What advice do you have to somebody that wants to change, that wants to just hold tight to Jesus?
Yeah. So for me, there's been many different circumstances where I knew I was doing something and God didn't want me to do it. And what I did was I made a list of goals, just like two or three goals, and I had it on my nightstand, and I would put goal number one and list it, goal number two and list it. When I would wake up in the morning, I would see my goals, and when I went to bed at night, I would see my goals again. And it just helped me hold myself accountable, too. Like, I'm seeing that stuff, I'm walking by it, you know, day and night, and, like, I'm actually doing it. And the thing is you have to want to do it, you know what I mean? So yeah, for me, it was making that list of goals, which really, and I stuck with them. I didn't just say, okay, I'm going to do this. You have to, like, do it. You have to put some action. Because it's easy to just be like, okay, I want to give this up. But to actually set a goal and to actually do it, you have to be very, you know, intentional about doing it.
And as Gabby and I were talking, I asked her, like, what are some of these goals? And I don't want to put all of her stuff out here, but, like, I got into, like, they're specific and small. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not this giant thing about where she wants to be 5 years from now. It's something she can do that very day, something she can be doing that week. And if you're here today and you think about what's something that's actually holding you back from knowing Jesus better, I bet you could come up with something. I don't know if it's a relationship you need to change. I don't know if there's someone you need to go and be honest with and share something with that person. I don't know if it's somebody you need to forgive or it's something you're addicted to that you need to get away from. But I bet if you will talk with Jesus in the response time here in just a little bit, I bet Jesus will show you one or two things to start setting goals on. And what if every day you were facing that? In the morning you got up and you saw those goals, and at night you faced them again. If you really wanted it, then you could get it. Like, faith is saying, like, if I reach out to Jesus, then Jesus is going to have my hand. If you reach out to him, he'll hold on to you.
That's right.
As Derek and Sian are coming up, I want to give us one more little, we have enough time here today, one more little piece of the puzzle, and Gabby can help me with this too. So that story about Alex Gordon, it's interesting how his friend messed up, Hosmer messed up, And then Alex being ready and dedicated, it gave an opportunity for Hosmer to do better later in the game. Gabby shared this story about the tooth thing. That happened a long time ago. But talk to me about how that affected somebody that you went running with. So even when you had a...
Yeah. Well, it's crazy that Jake mentioned to me, hey, you want to help me with the sermon? Because my friend Morgan, we were actually in treatment together, and then we went to Healing House together, and she's in art school now, and she's doing awesome. And she just sent me a text like Thursday night, just not that long ago. And she said, hey, Gabby, I just want you to know that I got 4 wisdom teeth pulled, and I didn't take any pain pills. And so I was like, and then it was weird. Jake wanted me to do the sermon. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, God is so funny like that. And what's even funnier is, tell me why I went jogging with my friend after getting teeth pulled and my mouth is throbbing. And I'm like, what are you thinking, Gabby? You live and you learn, you know?
Yeah.
Here I am jogging. So she's laughing at me like, wow, Gabby.
Here's my final thought for us today before we get ready for this response is, there's a lot of Hosmers in your life. There's people who have made mistakes, and if you'll do the right thing, you'll help them down the road. Mm-hmm. Like this lady who's getting her life together, Morgan, I think.
Morgan.
Yeah. By seeing Gabby take the hard choice, now that lady's not going to risk her sobriety or all this other stuff that she's done right. And like if today you will choose to say, I'm going to hold on to Jesus, I bet there'll be Morgans and Hosmers in your life later on who get a better shot at things because of the example that you set. So today during the response time, you can come down front and pray with a small group leader or with one of the coaches. You can stand and sing. You can also take out a sheet of paper with you, or you know, in the pew rack right in front of you, and set those goals right now. You don't have to wait till you get home to write that stuff out. The response time is about you saying, Jesus, I want to take hold of what you're offering for me. Jesus is saying, I'll make you a child of God. You just got to put your faith in me. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for how you've shined through Gabby's stories today. Jesus, I pray you'd shine through each one of us. Jesus, help us to take hold of all that you're offering us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.